Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Abgenommen bedauert.
Frequency.
Time now for yours truly, Johnny Dollar. The next half hour has its baggage packed to take a trip with America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator, Johnny Dollar. At insurance investigation, he's just an expert. At making out his expense account, he's an absolute genius.
Expense account submitted by special investigator Johnny Dollar. To Home Office, American Pioneer Life Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Attention, W.K. Green, General Manager. The following is an accounting of my expenditures in the case of Barton Drake, or how I played ducks and drakes with a drake who ducks. Expense account, item one. $100 I'm charging you for 1 hour's sleep I missed answering your telephone call at 9 o'clock in the morning. Expense account, item two. $1.50. I had to go out for breakfast. Easter Bunny didn't leave me any eggs. Item three, cab fare to your office. $1. Tip the driver, $1.
Morning, Johnny.
Why don't we make that good night sometime soon, shall we, Chickie?
Well, I've had to type up some of your expense accounts. I think maybe an evening with you might be fun. But business first. Old Stonewall's waiting for you.
Hasn't he gotten out of that military kick yet?
No, he still thinks he's a general. But to me, he's still just what he was before he ever went into the Army.
His belts never stopped fighting the battle of the businessman's bulge, huh? Well, forward march. Good morning, Mr. Green, sir. Mr. Dollar reporting as ordered, sir.
Addie, Oh, yes. What's this saluting and heel-clicking about?
Oh, I thought you might be homesick for some military courtesy.
Yeah, I'd be surprised to get any kind of courtesy from you. But we're not paying you to be polite. Sit down. Here. I got a job for you. Here. I had a copy made of the file in that case. You can take it with you.
Thanks. Barton Drake, huh? Oh, yeah, I remember him. Let's see. Life insurance, $30,000. Beneficiary, Mrs. Barton Drake. Well, what is it? Is he dead or just dying?
Neither, we hope.
Well, if you'll pardon a little before-noon philosophy, just by living, a man is slowly dying of old age.
We have a statistical department to worry about that, Dollar. Your job is to find this man, Barton Drake.
Okay. What's the story?
As far as the company is concerned, the story started one night just short of 7 years ago.
Oh, that would make it 1942.
Yes, the same year I was called upon to fight for my country.
Yeah. In the insurance division, Pentagon Building, Washington, D.C.
Huh?
But don't get me wrong. Those who serve can be just as proud of what they did as those who fought. As you were saying.
I merely used the word fight as a... It was a general term.
Yes, General. Barton Drake, one night about 7 years ago?
Yes. When we issued the life policy on Drake, he listed his occupation as that of hardware store proprietor.
Hardware? As I recall it, he specialized in unregistered pistols, handcuff keys, and hacksaws. And if I'm not wrong, at the time he disappeared, he was under suspicion of grand larceny. And wanted for assault with intent to kill a police officer.
Yeah, that's right. At the time, he was suspected of a number of large robberies.
Now, refresh me on the cop shooting. How'd that happen?
You remember. When the police arrived at the house to pick him up, he opened fire from the bedroom window, made a dash for it out of the back to his own car. And there was a chase during which the car skidded and went through the rail of a bridge into the river.
Oh, yes. Now I remember, yeah. They never did recover the body or the loot. All they got back was a wet Buick.
Dollar, that was 7 years ago. At least it will be 7 years and one more week. At that time, Barton Drake will be declared legally dead by the probate court. His wife has already instituted proceedings.
And when the court says she's a widow, she says, I want my $30,000, and you have to pay it, right?
Exactly. But we're not going to pay that $30,000 if we can help it. At 9 o'clock this morning, the Missing Persons Bureau of the New York Police Department called us and gave us reason to hope that Drake is still alive.
What happened? Did they see him in a crystal ball?
You don't know how close to the truth you came, darling.
Oh?
The missing persons boys have a new habit these days. Whenever there's a television show where there's a public crowd involved, they watch it. Last night, they think they spotted Barton Drake at the prize fight. Now, that's all we've got to go on, but we think he's alive and that he's somewhere in New York.
Well, that's a start, anyway. I know where to find New York. Expense account, item four, $7. Mileage, Hartford to New York. I stopped in Bridgeport to soak up a dish of coffee and whatever information there might be in the insurance file. Of the two, the coffee was the stronger. All I learned from the file was Drake's physical measurements, the birthplace of his mother, his wife's maiden name, the last known quotation on his blood pressure, and his home address in Manhasset, Long Island, to which I went. The house had a $40,000 look about it. And its grounds were being manicured by a gardener who had a $12-a-day look about him.
Yes, sir?
I'd like to see Mrs. Drake. Here's my card.
Yes, sir. Step in, please.
Thank you.
If you wait here in the hall, sir, I'll go tell her you're here.
Maid had a $40-a-week look about her and completed the picture of prosperity. For a hardware merchant, Barton Drake had died leaving his wife living a soft life. Either that or he was still alive and not giving his wife grounds for divorce on the basis of non-support. Or she was that certain kind of gal who wouldn't have any trouble making that certain kind of man get up that certain kind of money. And when I saw her, I knew not only that I couldn't afford her, but that Drake probably hadn't been able to, which probably led to his undoing. Just to give you an idea, she was wearing a diamond necklace and a negligee, and it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mr. Dollar?
Mrs. Drake?
Yes, Stella Drake. I'm having breakfast. Won't you come in and join me?
Well, I'll join you, but no breakfast. I just had a tomato surprise.
Hmm?
Lunch.
Oh, I'm glad you didn't ring me. Come on, right in here. Are you sure you won't have some breakfast?
No, thanks. I couldn't bring myself to hurt that poor, tired trout you've got there.
Oh, please. That's a genuine English kipper.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I didn't recognize it without its monocle.
Oh, you're more fun than an eye-opener. I should have you around when I get up every day.
Well, I have something to tell you that should make you really feel good.
You don't mean that bunch of stuffed shirts at the insurance company have decided to give me my money without going through all that fuss at probate court.
Oh, I've got better news than that. You may not get that money. But we think you have a good chance of getting your husband back.
What?
Yeah, the New York police think they saw him last night. Alive. Oh. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe that doesn't make you happy.
Why, yes. Yes, of course. Of course it makes me happy. But to live without a man for 7 years and then have a stranger just sit across the table and calmly tell you he's alive, it's just too much. Tell me, where did they find him?
They didn't. They think they spotted him at the fights they were watching on television. I imagine they're looking for him. I know I am.
Well, it's impossible. If he were alive and back in New York, he'd come to me.
That's what I was hoping, Mrs. Drake.
Well, I don't believe. Why would he do a thing like that to me? Why would he make me suffer all these years? I think you'd better go now. I've got to be alone. I've got to think. Oh, Bud, why? Why? Please, Mr. Dollar. I want to be alone.
I figured if she wanted to be alone, it was for a good reason. Because that lather she'd gotten into was strictly from soap opera. She flooded me to the door on a tide of tears. Once outside, I picked up the hedge clippers the gardener had conveniently left near the front walk and pruned the telephone wires leading into the house. Then I took a plant on the place from the other side of the street. I figured Mrs. Drake would want to share her troubles with somebody, and with the phone wires cut, she'd have to leave the house to do it, giving me a chance to follow her. And that's the way it worked out. She led me someplace, all the way into New York City, but not to Barton Drake. That would have been too easy. Once in Manhattan, she headed for a drugstore and a telephone booth.
Hello, do you play with the line?
I slipped into the phone booth beside hers. I got the receiver off the hook and my nickel in the slot in time to use an old trick of mine. As she dialed, I tried to duplicate it with my phone. She dialed. And I dialed. I was just one number behind her all the way. When she was through dialing, I held off dialing the last number on my phone until she got an answer. And then I let it go. The number she was calling was busy. It was room for coincidence, but it was good enough for me. I jotted down the number I'd gotten from my little telephone game of tag and then listened.
I've got to see you right away, Murray. All right, I'll meet you in 20 minutes. The usual thing.
The usual place turned out to be the usual place to meet trains, Grand Central Station. But no train ever pulled into where Mrs. Drake went. As a matter of fact, no man ever did. Unless he was a plumber, maybe. That's right, where the ladies go to powder their noses and things. She came out 30 minutes later alone, but she never hit the street. Instead, she went through the tunnel into the adjoining Commodore Hotel and checked into room 407. The only room I could get was 1313. Expense account item 5, $10. Tip to hotel detective for keeping an eye on the Eiffel in 407. Item 6, $35. Purchase of portable phonograph. Item 7, 65 cents. Purchase of phonograph record, Frank Sinatra singing Night and Day. With this for ammunition, I went back to my hotel room and gunning for a bird I'd never seen. I set up the phonograph near the telephone, put on the record, and placed a call to the number Mrs. Drake had called earlier in the day.
Hello.
Hello there. 7 p.m. again, and this is your favorite disc jockey, Happy Jack the Money Man. Yes, your favorite disc jockey, your spinner with the winners. Tell me, are you listening to our show?
My radio is not on. Goodbye.
Oh, hold the phone, madam. A little thing like that doesn't make any difference to Happy Jack. Here's all you have to do to win a house full of prizes. You just listen closely over the phone and identify today's puzzle platter, and you'll win all these wonderful prizes. A genuine Sunbeam Mixmaster that makes those fresh little eggs just happy to get beat up. Yes, and you'll clean up with the next prize. Make a real clean sweep with a Hoover vacuum cleaner with all attachments and no strings attached. And to send you tripping happily through life, you'll also receive a handsome set of easy-to-lug luggage, a pair of gladiator bags. Are you interested?
Why, of course I am.
All right, then. Here's the tune. There it is. What's the title of that song?
Night and Day.
You're right. You win all the sensational prizes. Quickly now, give me your name and address. They'll be delivered tonight.
Mrs. Knott.
Yes, Mrs. Knott. The street number?
127 East 89th Street, apartment 3C.
Thank you, Mrs. Knott. You'll get the whole works immediately. Expense account, items 8, 9, and 10. $39.50, purchase of Mixmaster. $79.50, purchase of vacuum cleaner. And $89.50, purchase of luggage. You may resent this expenditure, but there's one thing you must remember. Nobody can resist trading their name and address for something for nothing. I felt like an out-of-season Santa Claus when I knocked on the door of apartment 3C at 127 East 89th Street. The frame suddenly became a picture frame encasing a live version of Whistler's grandmother, complete with wheelchair and crocheted afghan.
Just bring them in and set them down.
Yes, ma'am. I'm Happy Jack, and I'm glad to meet you.
Right in here and set them down.
Ah, yes. There you are, Mrs. Knott. You lucky woman, you.
Is that all?
Almost. Now, all we need from you is a little information. Just some background on today's winner to pass along to my radio audience.
Be off with you, young man. I'll write you a letter.
Oh, but come now, Mrs. Knott.
Never mind. I've no time now.
Just a few questions while I check you out on the Hoover.
I don't need any checking out. Now, go away.
I must say, Mrs. Knott, you're a bad winner. So now I'm afraid I'm going to have to stick around to find out how good a loser you are.
What do you mean? Come in. You, Stella, do you know this man?
Do I know him? He's that insurance investigator, Johnny Dollar.
Granny came flying out of the wheelchair, multiplying in height by three. When I first saw Granny's hand flying toward me, it looked like there was an old-fashioned wedding ring on each finger. But just too late, I saw it was only a set of brass knuckles.
In just a moment, we'll return to the second act of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. CBS cordially invites you to hear The Adventures of Philip Marlowe and the stories of modern crimes and their solutions as unfolded on Gangbusters when they come to you every Saturday night on most of these same CBS stations. Tomorrow night, Philip Marlowe will investigate the mystery behind the cloak of Kamehameha, and Gangbusters will deal with the case of the Callous Killer. Now back to Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.
When I woke up, the thunder and lightning in my head was getting an answer from the sky. And I started getting some answers, too.
You, James, give me a bass.
Granny's voice had changed to the bass register, and its owner was smoking a big cigar. I stayed on the floor in quiet. I didn't want those brass knuckles crooning me another lullaby.
I'm awful close to fouling up the whole deal. I told you I didn't want you to try to collect on that insurance. Why'd you do it?
It's $30,000, that's why.
Here you talk, you think you were going hungry. What do you think I am, some empty milk bottle you can run down to the corner and get your nickel back on? What were you trying to do anyway, sell me out?
Sell you out? You know what started this trouble. You had to go to the fights last night. Oh, a big man. Dumb cops, you call them.
Don't worry about me. They haven't found me. I'll take care of myself. But not with you lousing me up, getting mixed up with dirty dealers like this guy Dull.
Oh, you're so smart. Why did you let him in here?
Shut up. He wanted to give me something for free. That's why. Well, I've got something for him. A free boat ride. Wheel that chair over here. We'll take him out in that.
The wheelchair ride was short to the street. The auto ride was longer, to the ocean. And from what I could gather on the dock, the boat ride was to be even longer, to my doom. I was still playing Sleeping Beauty and listening to the supposed-to-be dead man, Barton Drake, telling his wife Stella how he was going to make my slumber permanent.
Come on, come on, get a move on. I've got his hands tied. Hurry up with his feet.
I'm almost through. There. Now what?
Now stand back while I heave him up on the deck.
Oh, aren't you going to tie him to something?
For what? If they ever find this boat, they're going to find it empty. One good wave out there, and this guy goes for a swim. There. The wheels last. He's got plenty of gas and plenty of ocean out there. That'll teach Mr. Happy Jack. Now I'm giving him away.
Salt shower bath with my clothes on wasn't the big chill in my life. I was scared. My heart was racing faster than the boat engine. And for the first 20 minutes, all I could think about was hanging onto that slippery deck with all I had to hang with, my hopes and my heels. I was on a thin strip of deck aft of the wheel. Hard by my hands was a deck sweep. With that for a starting point, I went to work, trying to out-navigate that rope. With which button brake and lashed the wheel. I worked my side wrists over the cleat and dropped my legs down over the side into the icy racing water. I had rigged myself into a human jury rudder to swing the boat off its course. I didn't know where it would take me, but I didn't care so long as it wasn't out to the open sea.
Might as well tell you. Your boat sunk and you ruined the knock last night doing it. You have to pay for it.
Oh.
My name's Fred Kindly. I told you off the beach. I'm expecting to be paid for that, too.
Well, it cost me to find out where I am.
It ain't worth nothing. Talk, ain't. You're on Slate Island. Ain't worth much, neither. All slate. Didn't have sense to grow no chalk to go with it.
Dandy. Where are my clothes?
Out in the sun.
How about my wallet?
Fish must have got it.
Mind if I feel your back for fins?
Don't get funny, young fella. Might want to be getting off this island someday.
Someday? Some minute is more like it. You got a boat?
Of course I got a boat, but ain't got much food. Maybe if I could afford to buy some supply of canned goods when I got to the mainland, well...
Well, how much would it cost?
Oh, much as $100, maybe?
Okay, it's a deal. Let's go.
Hold on now. Only said maybe... Come think of it, might cost $200.
Oh, okay. You swindler. $200, then.
Oh, swindler, am I? I say a fellow might as well have the game as his name. Makes for price $500 worth of grade A canned goods. And if you don't want to pay it, you can get out to the shack and wait for the mailboat.
Maybe I will. When does it get here?
Week from Tuesday.
Okay. You'll get your $500 worth of canned goods. When can we start?
I'll give you your clothes as soon as you put it in writing and sign your name.
Where's the paper?
Right here. Keep it handy. Just fill in the amount here. $500 worth. It's the regular contract for shipwreck.
Okay. Give it here. $500. And where do I sign?
Right there, at the bottom.
There you are. All signed.
That's a peculiar name. Ali Khan.
I'd had more than my share of wind the night before, so I decided to throw caution to it. I went to the building at 127 East 89th Street and up to apartment 3C. First, I knocked with my knuckles and got no answers. So then I knocked with my feet. Well, what do you know? The lock broke. There was nobody home. And Barton Drake must have been out calling himself Granny at the moment because the wheelchair part of his disguise was also among the missing. The closet was empty. And the brand new Gladiator bags I had delivered the previous evening were nowhere to be found. Well, nobody could say I hadn't made it easy for Drake to make a getaway with my little giveaway. I even supplied the luggage. But all the traffic wasn't going. Some of it was coming. Oh, well, Stella. There's one bad thing about kicking your way into places. You can't lock the door behind you. Well, now that you're in, you better come all the way in.
What are you doing here?
You should be asking me what I'm doing alive. The only answer I've got for that is I don't murder easily.
Where's Barton?
Oh, that was the next question I was going to ask you. Now that one's gone, I've got a couple more I'd like to ask you. And don't argue.
I don't know anything.
Well, then let me tell you something. If you're not guilty of anything else, you are guilty of attempted insurance fraud. That's in my department. The tougher you make it on me, the tougher I'm going to make it on you. Now, about those questions. How long has your husband been back here in New York?
He never left here.
Oh, the night his car crashed through the bridge, he just grabbed himself a hideaway in New York and stayed put, huh? How long has he been using that old lady disguise?
All the time.
Okay. Well, now my last question. That bag in your hand, where were you going? Okay, let's find out. Give me that bag. Uh-huh. What's this? Well, it's either a bathing suit or a two-piece handkerchief. And that blouse there, that doesn't look like it's for dinnerware and an igloo. We were headed south.
So we were headed south. What about...
We, huh? If you ask me... And I doubt that you will, so I'll tell you anyway. Your hopes just headed south. Lady, you've been double-crossed. Your husband took off without you.
I don't believe it. If he left here, he had a good reason.
That's your guess, but we're not playing your hunches. We're playing mine from here on in. Just where did he say you were going?
I don't remember.
Maybe it'll help if first you remember what I told you about insurance fraud. It's good for 10 to 20 years. Now, do you remember?
He bought tickets on the Orange Blossom Special for Florida. It leaves Penn Station in an hour and a half.
Oh, you've got that a little backwards. The Orange Blossom Special pulls out in half an hour.
Huh?
That doesn't even give me enough time to get down there. Get out of my way. Sit down.
Information.
Hello. Information. Look, I want the telephone number of the Penn Station branch of the Traveler's Aid Society. This was once when I didn't want the society to aid the traveler. I told them that Barton Drake was my invalid aunt and as nutty as a fruitcake. With Stella's help, I described his costume from the daisies on his hat to the buttons on his shoes. I tagged it off with a warning that when my aunt left the house, she thought she was a honeybee and was on her way to throw herself in front of the Orange Blossom Special, wheelchair and all. The guy on the other end of the line took off to round up the railway police, and I took off to round up a taxi. Rode the escalator into the main waiting room. And halfway down, I spotted Barton Drake and his grandmother get up. He was surrounded by police, and the police were surrounded by a small crowd. I walked over.
The Orange Blossom Special.
I don't know what kind of a practical joke this is, young man, but it's not funny. You made me miss my train, and I don't even have a nephew.
No, no, Mother, don't be upsetting yourself.
Don't you now, me, young man. Just get me on a train. Any train headed south will do.
Drake was getting ready for trouble. If the cops couldn't see it, I could. His hand was under his afghan, and I knew the least it could be holding was a fistful of brass knuckles, but probably more. He was getting ready to make a run for it. I wasn't taking any chances. I edged my way through the crowd, up behind the wheelchair, spun it around, and hit what looked like somebody's grandmother a beautiful shot in the whiskers.
I got him.
Now, wait a minute, officer. You don't understand.
Don't understand, don't I? Hit an old lady, will you?
He's not an old lady.
Trouble you want, you scoundrel. Here, maybe this will quiet you. Oh. Get over here.
Hiya, Chickie.
Oh, that bandage. What's the matter with your head?
No brains. Where's the general?
Oh, when he found out you saved American Pioneer $30,000, he decided to take the morning off and celebrate. He's out playing golf.
Oh, great. To celebrate my getting hit on the head with police clubs, he goes out and swings golf clubs.
Oh, Johnny, I was sort of...
Now, don't worry, Chickie. I've still got enough energy left for nightclubs. You want to help me with this expense account? I'll get it out of the way.
Well, that's all it stands between.
Uh-huh. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Home Office, American Pioneer Life Insurance Company. First, the police held me and let Granny Drake go to the hospital where they learned the truth. Then they let me go to the hospital and transferred Barton Drake to the pokey, where he was soon joined by his lady-in-waiting, Mrs. Drake. Expense account item 11. Something I almost forgot. $500. Canned goods. For the man who got me off the rocks on Slate Island, Mr. Fred Kindly. Even if he did rob me, I didn't feel like robbing him. The only thing I did do was remove all the labels from the $500 worth of canned goods. I'm sure that this will see to it that Mr. Kindly had some very unbalanced meals. Because I happen to know that there's no difference in the sound of canned tomatoes and canned peaches when you shake the can. Expense account total, $1,482.63. Yours, truly, Johnny Dollar.
At last, mankind is facing up to one of its most feared diseases, cancer. Research scientists are working tirelessly, exploring every avenue that might lead to new treatments, new cures. and new insight into the causes of the disease. At the same time, the American Cancer Society is working to keep the public informed of all the progress that has been made, trying to reach everyone with the message that the sooner a diagnosis is made, the better the chances of cure. Together, this public education and research attack should bring great progress in the control of cancer. But both phases of this program are costly. Realizing you are giving to a fight against a disease that could menace you, give generously to the American Cancer Society's drive for funds this year. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, stars Charles Russell as Johnny. Our music is composed and conducted by Leif Stevens. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is written by Paul Dudley and Gil Dowd and is produced and directed by Richard Sandville for CBS, where 99 million people gather every week, the Columbia Broadcasting System. By Richard Sandville for CBS, where 99 million people gather every week, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Everybody knows a taxi driver likes being over tipped, but you can't blame him for not liking being tipped over.
This is another in the adventures of America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator, Johnny Dollar. At insurance investigation, he's only an expert. At making out his expense account, he's an absolute genius. Expense account submitted by special investigator Johnny Dollar to Home Office, the Nutmeg State Liability Underwriters, Hartford, Connecticut.
The following is an accounting of my expenditures during my investigation of the disappearance of 12 Apex cabs. Or, who took the taxis for a ride? Expense account, item one, $3.10, train fare, Hartford to New York. Item two, $1.10, dinner en route. Item three, $18, club car. Expense account, item four, $1.30, cab fare from station to garage and offices of Apex Taxi Company. I initially waited for an Apex cab, but could have saved my time. The driver told me nothing, except that the man who came rushing out of the Apex office when we pulled up was the big boss, Mr. Gordon McKissick. Thanks, driver. He's just the man I'm looking for. Here.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, McKissick!
I can't stop now. I'm in a hurry. See me tomorrow.
Wait a minute. I'm Johnny Dollar from the insurance company.
Oh, good. That's different. Just in time. Come along.
Where are we going?
Come on. Tell you in the car. Just had a call from the police. Another one of my cabs has been stolen.
Huh?
They found the driver slugged and unconscious, and I got to get out of there.
Huh?
I tell you, Dollar, I'm going crazy. This has got to stop. It's not only driving me out of business, it's driving me out of my mind. The police have done their best, and Lord knows I have, too. But I'm about ready to give up. This makes 12 of my taxi cabs disappear off the face of the earth. It's fantastic. I can't believe it.
Hold it, McKissick. Do us both a favor, will you?
Huh? What?
Play cucumber for a few seconds.
Oh.
Remember, the insurance company I represent has plenty to scream about, too. What I need is some facts.
I haven't got any facts. And if this keeps up, I won't have any taxis. They're gone, that's all. 12 of them, that's all there is to it.
Any idea of a motive? Some new kind of car theft?
That's what the cops say.
Okay, what's your idea? Robbing the drivers?
You don't have to steal a cab to rob a driver. It's ridiculous.
All right, then. What else could it be? Competition? Sabotage?
That's my guess. Competition. So far, it's only a guess. I'd give anything to know.
So would the insurance company. Anything. They'd even give up my happy young life.
This is it. 13th and East River.
Yeah, and there's the crowd. Humanity's strongest magnet.
All right,
blood.
Yeah. Back. Please. Stand back.
Come hey, on. Officer.
Huh? What do you want?
Look, here's my ID. This man is McKissick, the victim's boss. How about getting us through that crowd?
Well, all right, but I don't know. The right side of his face don't feel much like talking. It's caved in.
Stand aside now. Come on. Move, move.
Come on, Dollar. Let's move in.
Okay. I can't breathe in here, let alone the hurt, man.
Get out of the way, will you?
Okay, Mr. Dollar. Here you are.
Oh. Hey, are you right? Is this one of your men, McKissick?
Yeah, George Brandon. Been with me 4 years.
Oh.
Brandon.
Brandon, listen to me. Who did it? Do you know who did it? Try hard, will you?
Never from before.
Yeah, Brandon, only one. Well, what did he look like? Come on, boy.
His look, I dark. He talked funny.
He talked funny? How, Brandon? How? An accent? Come on, Brandon. Well, that's it.
All right, clear the way, stand back. Clear the way for the ambulance.
The ambulance. The ambulance turns out to be the wrong kind of a wagon. Expense account, item five, $28. Transportation the following day, visiting hospitals and the homes of the other 11 Apex drivers who had lost their cabs. During the course of this, I contracted a severe case of what GIs used to refer to as jeep seat. Out of 11 interviews, I got three clues. One, that up until last night's killing, the cab nappers had worked as a team. The little dark guy with an accent, as described by the dead driver Brandon, and a 300-pound accomplice wearing a seersucker suit, a Panama hat, and a complexion akin to a perspiring blob of leaf lard. This heavier of the two heavies, it seemed, never actively participated in any of the rough stuff, merely assuming the role of director of operations. Clue number two, that in each instance, the driver's uniform cap was also stolen, which indicated to me merely that the getaway driver was very much interested in looking like a cab driver. And finally, clue number three, from the most disgruntled of the drivers interviewed, the fact that the fleet owner McKissick had spent 3 years bootlegging
another for bookmaking, and it had spent some very short vacations getting away from it all in prison, which naturally led me back to McKissick's Apex garage and office.
Come in. Oh, Dollar. Well, what have you found out?
Well, I'll tell you, McKissick. So far, I've just hit the ABCs. Later on, I'll get to the XYZs.
Look, Dollar, I'm getting fed up with double talk.
What I want to talk about is a double life. Yours.
What?
I once broke a leg jumping to a conclusion, so don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm doing. But a less experienced investigator might immediately assume that a man like you, an ex-bootlegger, ex-bookmaker, ex-jailbird, just might be stealing his own cabs for the insurance money. Now, wait a minute. Don't get that way, or I might also get the idea that you have a killer instinct.
My record's my own business. It was okay with the Hack Bureau. It was okay when that company sold me the insurance, so it'll have to be okay with you because you're stuck with it.
Nobody's calling you guilty.
Okay!
Okay, all I'm telling you is this. I want your cabs off the street until this thing is cleared up.
That's big talk, little man.
When the day shift comes in at 4:30, tell them to park their cabs in the garage. And you can tell your dispatcher the night shift isn't working tonight.
Bad enough to have my competition running me out of business. Now the little helper from the insurance company shows up to finish the job, huh?
I'm not trying to put you out of business. I'm trying to keep you in.
Well, it don't sound like it.
No cooperation from you, no insurance. I'll have it canceled as fast as I can get to a phone. How about it?
Okay, Dollar. I can't do anything about it. But if I were you, I wouldn't be caught hanging around here by any one of those drivers you're putting out of work. Some of them play rough.
You can always depend on a cab driver for being on time, when it's time to knock off work. By 5 o'clock, the garage was full of taxis and carbon monoxide fumes. By 5:30, it was devoid of humanity, and a night watchman I'd met before stood guard outside the locked gate. At 6 o'clock, a visitor dropped in on him, followed almost immediately by me.
It's so important that I find it.
Yeah, yeah.
It contains everything I have in the world almost.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
My money, even my...
What's this, Vinny?
Huh? Oh, Mr. Dollar. Yeah, yeah. Well, a young lady claims she lost...
My purse, senor. I hired one of your taxi cabs this afternoon and left my purse in it. It's so important that I get it.
Yeah, yeah. I told her to call Lost and Found in the morning.
But, senor, what will I do tonight?
While we're trying to figure that out, would you join me in a drink?
I would like that.
Her name was Marita Guastella. She was a dark type, so I took her around the corner to a dark saloon. On the way in, we passed four grumbling Apex cab drivers shooting hot looks at me over cold beers. I arranged her in a booth so I could keep an eye on them in case their intentions were no good, and an ear on her story, which I knew was...
This is my first trip to America. I came from Spain 2 weeks ago. This afternoon, I was shopping on Fifth Avenue, and that is when I took the cab from 49th Street to the Sherry Netherlands Hotel.
Uh-huh, 49th, Sherry Netherlands.
Yes.
What time did you take the cab?
Wait, I'm not sure exactly.
That would help.
Oh, it was exactly 10 minutes after 4. I remember now, I looked at a clock.
Uh-huh. And what time did you arrive at the hotel, Marita?
Why are you writing all this down?
Just trying to help you find your purse.
Oh, but I do not want to put you to any trouble. I am perfectly willing to search through the taxis myself.
Honey, the city of New York has gone to a lot of trouble to save you that trouble. Every driver has to keep a record of every trip, where he picks up his passengers, where he drops them, and when.
Oh.
He puts it on a big card. So all we have to do is find out which card has your trip listed on, then we'll know which cab.
Oh, I see.
Then we'll go to the little cab and probably find your little purse. All right?
Oh, it is very good of you, Senor. If you would not mind the trouble.
Sometimes bothering with this kind of trouble eliminates my employer's troubles. I want another martini. Expense account, item 6. $4, bar tab. Tip to waiter, $1. And here's a tip to young ladies who are pretending that they just came from Spain 2 weeks ago. Don't order birdbath martinis and put them away in one gulp. The drinking taste of Spanish ladies is more the sherry type. And martinis are hard enough to get used to in 2 years, let alone 2 weeks. Oh, who knows? Maybe she was just in a hurry to get to the Spanish olives. One thing was fairly apparent, though. She seemed to be in a hurry to get something out of one of those cabs, and not by way of the lost and found department.
The least I could do, both as a gentleman and an insurance investigator, was to accept her phony-sounding story and take her back to the garage. I arm in arm the sometime senorita around the block, passing the time in a conversation not exactly based on her mother's favorite recipe for a roast home foil. As we passed the office portion of the Apex Cab building, I gave up looking into her eyes and saw something that was open even wider, the garage gate.
Jim, what is it?
The watchman, he's gone.
Perhaps he just stepped inside.
Uh-uh. Look at the stains on the sidewalk. Blood.
Sidewalk.
Bridewell? Who's Bridewell?
I do not know.
Who's Bridewell?
Please, let me go. Let me go, please, Johnny. You're hurting my arm.
Marita had twisted away and was hightailing it up the street. I went stamping up the ramp in the direction of the source of the scream. On the way up, I hit the light switch. In this racket, even big boys should be afraid of the dark. The first portal, I slowed my run into a pussyfoot pace and edged around the corner, sliding my back along the dispatcher's counter. When I got halfway down, the corner of my right eye picked off a pair of high black shoes, night watchman type. Heels on the floor, toes pointed up, sticking out from behind the end of the counter. I didn't have time to get a look at the rest of them. Something so round, so firm, and so fully loaded gave me a cold steel kiss under the left ear.
Pray do yourself the favor, sir. The remaining apes will be still. Now you may turn around.
Would this be Mr. Bridewell?
Good indeed, sir.
Well, what about the night watchman?
I have no fears for him. I'm fortunately accomplished in the administration of first aid. But a good deal of practice. I've seen to it that he's resting comfortably.
I'll bet.
Well, Victor, my boy, I trust your search was successful.
Somebody beat us to it. All them cabs have been searched.
Nonsense, my boy. How can you tell in so short a time?
How about taking a look for yourself, fat boy?
You couldn't possibly have picked over all of them. Proceed to the sergeant quickly. In the meantime, perhaps our friend here is the proprietor of the search that preceded us.
In this case, practically anything could happen.
Yes, anything could. Knowing that should encourage you to mind your manners. Now, sir, will you accompany me to my hotel where we can discuss this further?
With you holding that .38 caliber steel-engraved invitation in your hand, I'd be a perfect cad to refuse.
In just a moment, we'll return to the second act of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. But first, your armed forces are constantly searching for new methods and devices for national security and better peacetime living. Today's serviceman is a skilled professional who works with advanced techniques and equipment. If you're interested in science and technical subjects, your armed forces offers you a great opportunity now. Find out how you can join the world's greatest scientific enterprise, the Armed Forces of the United States. Now, with our star, Charles Russell, we return to the second act of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. And tonight's story, Who Took the Taxis for a Ride?
Looking for some stolen taxi cabs and wound up in a hotel room looking stupid. Not wishing to make this affirmative effect, I put my mind to work, and the fruits of its labor went something like this. Whoever had been stealing those cabs, and I figured I was face to face with one of them now, had not been stealing the Apex rolling stock for the cabs themselves, but for something evidently hidden in one of them. From here on in, there was only one way to play it, by ear. That was easy, because the pasty-faced 300-pounder draped in a double-breasted seersucker tent was doing all the talking.
Back in 1912, when I was expelled from Oxford University as a result of an unfortunate association with an unscrupulous proctor, I arrived at this decision, sir. It's sometimes not profitable to be on the apparently right side. I make myself clear?
Well, in a roundabout way, I think so.
Now then, I am thus fully acquainted with my position in regard to this matter of the Scarlet Madonna. But you, where do you stand?
I'm running a one-man escort service for Marita Guastella.
Ah, Marita. So, the lovely but unwise Marita has taken unto herself an accomplice, has she? Well, as long as you're allied with her, you and I must be at cross purposes.
Well, I'm open to suggestion.
Good. The girl is nothing more than a penniless adventuress, a common thief. But I, sir, may be able to tempt your trenchant loyalties with some very fetching terms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Victor?
It's our man, all right. I knocked it out of that night watchman when he came to. There was only one guy in that garage besides us. This is him. That's got to work.
Here, Victor. This is not the time for violence. The gentleman and I are about to discuss terms of mutual profit. Were we not, sir?
You were discussing. I was listening.
Yes. You'll find that I can be concise when the situation demands that I be. Shall we start with a figure of, say, $5,000?
I got nothing. Let me work him over.
Well, Victor, you kindly remember that I deplore violence. Well, young man, what do you say?
Nuts to your $5,000, Mr. Bridewell.
Good heavens, man. Have you lost your mind? What do you think the Scarlet Madonna is worth to you?
Well, so far it's been worth one man's life, 12 taxicabs. On a used car lot, that comes to more than $5,000.
$7,500.
Keep coming.
Now, see here now. There's not only a limit to my generosity. There's a limit to my patience. How else do you expect to realize that you have good profit?
I haven't made up my mind.
And perhaps I can help you. Here are the problems you face. The Scarlet Madonna is no ordinary gem to be disposed of through the ordinary channels. You, sir, have the faintest notion of the importance of the jewel.
Well, I've got a hunch I could retire for life on it.
A very short life it might be. It would be a pity if your blood were mixed with that already shed through the centuries over the Scarlet Madonna.
I don't waste time with that story, fat stuff. We haven't got all week.
My purpose in this repetitious recitation is bona fide. The bloody history may convince our friend that no one since the year 1256 has been able to share for any appreciable length of time the company of the Scarlet Madonna.
Hey, tell him about the
well, that was the year it was fashioned. He wore the vestments of John of Vicenza. On March 20th of that year, he was ordered by Alexander IV to hasten to the province of Tuscany to aid in the routing of the heretics.
The pirate!
There, John was murdered and robbed of this jewel. And since that date, it has never ceased its bloody journey through history. England, France, and Spain.
Don't forget the pirate, that stuff.
Thank you, Victor, for your helpful interest. Indeed, it is true. During one of its bloodier experiences, it was woven into the beard of an Alsatian pirate from which it fell when his head tumbled into the basket beneath a guillotine.
Yeah, that would do me. You see, mister, don't go losing your head.
I'm trying not to. But, Bridewell, if this rock is so hot, how come you're willing to risk your pudgy little neck for it?
Victor here and I are only the temporary middlemen for this infamous gem.
You aren't yet.
Am I to understand that you refuse?
Well, I must say you tell a very good story. But the answer is still nothing doing.
I told you, fat stuff. We're wasting your time on this guy.
Come on, Victor. That's enough. Here now, get up, young man.
Keep that monkey over me or I'll yell the roof off this joint.
Yes, no, that won't be necessary. Now, put your hands up, please. Now, Victor, go through his pockets. Not that anyone would be foolish enough to carry the Scarlet Madonna.
Okay, now. That easy.
Oh, you'll kick your teeth, huh?
Don't try it. Hey.
Come on.
You know what we got here? Insurance stick.
I know, Victor. One gun is enough.
Not for me, it ain't. It must be from the company insuring the rock.
No, no, Victor. I am thoroughly familiar with the policies covering the Scarlet Madonna. What's the gentleman's name?
Johnny Dollar from Hartford, Connecticut.
And right now, thinking there's no place like home. I'm leaving.
No, not alive, you ain't. We can't let him out of here. He's red hot for us.
Down your weapon, Victor. There's been trouble enough.
Now you don't.
Oh, yes, I do. Back off, Buster.
Now, Victor, I must insist. Wait. Let him get away.
Hey, let's go of me.
Insurance investigator, whatever. If he knows where the jewel is, he's more good for us alive than dead. More valuable than even you.
The elevators weren't fast enough. I hit every fourth step down 8 flights of stairs to the lobby, out into the street.
Mr. Dollar. Johnny. Johnny, I must see you.
Oh, Marita. Well, this saves me looking for you. You just tag right along. Taxi!
Here you are, sir.
After you, Lady of Spain.
Thank you,
Jamie. You're welcome.
What did they do to you?
A gentleman named Victor hung a right hand on me, complete with signet ring.
Oh, Johnny.
Oh, never mind that hanky. I'm not in the mood to be dad that.
I'm so sorry. Johnny, what did they tell you?
Oh, no, you don't. First, I want to hear what you have to tell me. Then we'll compare stories.
Wait. There's not much to tell. The Scarlet Madonna is rightfully and legally mine.
My only crime was to bring it into this country illegally through customs. I met Broadwell and that horrible Victor on the ship. And when I got to New York, I realized that they were following me. I was terrified.
That I'll believe.
I was in a taxi cab, and they followed me in another. It forced us to a curb. And, well, I hid the jewel in the upholstery of the taxi. Then I jumped out and fled for my life. Of course, I remember it, that it was an Apex cab. I've been trying to find the exact one ever since.
So apparently are they. How'd they find out?
They ran after me that night. They searched me and all of my belongings. And then when I started my search, they realized what I was doing.
Well, looks like anybody can catch the brass ring on this merry-go-round.
Please, Johnny, tell me that you will help me to recover the Madonna.
Look, gorgeous. All I'm trying to catch up with is a dozen stolen taxi cabs.
But you're not just going to leave me flat?
With that figure? Impossible. I took Marita to a small hotel, got her a room, and while she was taking a bath, I stole her clothes and left her, locked in that strongest of midtown prisons, nudity. The first joker I went looking for back at the Apex garage was the unfortunate night watchman. I found him sitting up and taking nourishment out of a bottle, and nursing an egg on his head that would have hatched an ostrich.
It's you, Mr. Dollar.
Yeah.
I tell you, I've been worried about you. Yeah. Thank heavens you're all right.
No thanks to you.
No. What do you mean, sir?
I mean, why'd you tell that sawed-off ape who slugged you around that I searched these cabs in here last night?
Why, I didn't mention you, sir. I told him it was the boss, McKissick.
Huh?
Yeah.
McKissick? Where is he now, do you know?
He just came by. I believe he's next door in his office.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Oh, McKissick. This case is developing more suspects than a garlic breath in a crowded elevator.
Well,
come in, McKissick.
Come. I try to level with you. 10,000 is my top order. Turn it over.
Let's see your money. You don't trust me, I don't trust you.
I had your chance. And now we're on the rate of money. The rate of money in it. Oh, no, mister, no. Hey, what's that?
Here's what I owe you. Come on, get up.
Then I finished the job he had started. I found the Scarlet Madonna clutched in McKissick's dead hand. For a Scarlet Madonna, it was mighty green. It was an emerald about the size of a pack of cigarettes that's been flattened out in your pocket. A Madonna figure was carved in bas relief on one surface. As I stood over the body of McKissick, looking down at the green gem in my hand, I realized where it got its crimson name. For on the floor, outlining my hand, was a spreading pool of scarlet blood.
Well, sir, we meet again.
Yeah, so it seems.
May I offer you my congratulations, and at the same time request that you hand over the Scarlet Madonna?
Being unarmed, as you are, you're not welcome to it.
Well, perhaps I have something more persuasive than a weapon. Here are my credentials.
I'll look at them if you'll back up against the wall.
Very well. You'll also find there a letter authorizing me to the legal possession of this infamous, this hateful, this accursed instrument of greed. I'll explain that it's been my odious duty to retrieve it for its rightful owner, the Stillwell Museum in London, from which it was stolen by Victor and his erstwhile lady-in-waiting, the exotic Marita.
Insurance investigator. You, where do you come from? What's your outfit?
Yes, I thought I'd set you back on your heels. I'm from London. Pity we didn't have each other's interests classified earlier. We might very well have, shall we say, collaborated in this matter.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's an unvoiced question lurking on the tip of your tongue. My association with the bestial Victor.
Well, at this point, I didn't want to insult you.
I think nothing of it, my boy. Due to a fortunate similarity in voice and physique to your accomplished actor, Mr. Sidney Greenstreet, I find myself automatically listed as undoubtedly the villain of the piece. In this case, as in many others during my fantastically successful career as an insurance investigator, I was able to align myself with the basic source of the villainy involved. Further, I pray that you not accuse me of being associated with any of the physical violences
which have punctuated this case. In short, this Victor fellow occasionally slipped through my fingers.
Look, all I'm trying to find is 12 lousy taxicabs.
Well, then, your troubles are at an end, my boy. I shall write out an address.
Fine.
And there you shall find them unharmed.
Yeah.
The warehouse hard by the East River.
Okay.
You'll forgive me, I'm sure, if I tell you that in this case, it is but another small milestone in the glorious pathway strewn with superior accomplishments in solving those minor mysteries evolved by the niggardly minds of the sniveling criminals who would offend the sanctity of that guardian of the peace of the public mind. In short, Company.
Amen. Expense account, item 7, $1.95, one evening gown, which was hard enough to find, but would probably be even harder to wear at that price, purchased in an all-night salon de mode on 136th Street. This dress I gave to Mr. Bridewell to take with him when he went calling on Senorita Marita Guastella, prior to turning her over to the police. Expense account, item 8, $6.10. One bottle of you-know-what, with which to gargle a half-good, half-bad taste left by this case out of my mouth. Expense account item 9, transportation. No, come to think of it, you can forget this item for a while. I think I'd better stay here in Manhattan and rest up a bit. Expense account item 9, $400. Advance, entertainment and things, while resting on my laurels. Or possibly Mr. Bridewell's calls. But anyway, resting. Expense account total, $1,100. You fill in the cents. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars Charles Russell, with script by Paul Dudley and Gil Dow. Featured in the cast were Herb Butterfield as Mr. Bridewell, with Paul Dubove, Lillian Baev, Lou Krugman, Junius Matthews, Jan Arvin, and Jack Crucian. The special music is written and conducted by Leith Stevens. Be sure to be with us again at the same time next week when another most unusual expense account is handed in by
yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
The great hit tunes of early 1939, Deep Purple, Penny Serenade, I Cried for You. How many more can you remember dancing to, romancing to? You'll hear them in smart new 1949 arrangements when your hit parade on parade comes along immediately over all of these same CBS stations. Alan Botzer speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice.
Best believe TurboTax will be your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice.